Good evening. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. It is June 7th, 2021, and it is 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Alex Steinberg, the chair of this committee. And since we do not have a regular secretary, I will call the roll call for attendance. Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Present.
Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Jim Sagerton.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Sandra Rawline. Sandra? I believe Sandra is present.
I'm here. I was on mute. Sorry.
Okay. Polina Vasilyev. Lydia Brazan. Anita Sims. Heather Gray.
Here.
And Alex Steinberg, that's me. I'm here.
Okay. Chair, this is James.
James?
I spoke to Anita earlier today and she had a conflict, so she reported she would not be able to be here.
Okay. All right. Nevertheless, we do have a quorum. Okay. Does anybody want to volunteer to be the temporary secretary for today and take notes for the meeting? Anybody?
All right, it's Julie. I'll do it. This time I have to remember to actually type the notes up and send them out before the next meeting. I'll try really hard. I think I owe another meeting or two's worth of minutes, too.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Actually, the simplest way to do it is just to, you know, do the notes during the meeting and just our meetings are usually not that complicated.
True.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you anyway. Okay. Do we have minutes for the last meeting? And I don't really remember when that was. It was 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think. Are there any minutes we can approve?
Chair, this is Chris Corey. I think I'm responsible for that. And until about 2 days ago, I completely forgot about it. So I don't have them at this meeting. I apologize for that. I will make sure to get them for the next meeting.
Okay. I would like everybody who has volunteered to do minutes this year, please submit them as soon as you can, because this is one of those annoying little items that we need to, you know, we need to fulfill in order to be eligible for CPB funding. And there will be an attempt to regain our CPB status this month. And all the paperwork has to be done by the end of the month. One of the things we need to be compliant with our notification requirements, and that includes posting of minutes of meetings. Okay. And that being said, let me read the draft agenda for this meeting. Okay. Well, I should have included the minutes in the draft agenda. Okay. So let's go do that anyway. Okay. The first point would have been the minutes for the last meeting, and the next item, a 10-minute item, is a motion on the Pacific National Advisory Board. That's followed by a review of the progress we have made in the different work areas that we've created in order to all the different plans we have for new revenue sources. And that's a 45-minute item. That's followed by setting the date for the next meeting, and then we adjourn. So that's the draft agenda. Can I get a motion to accept the draft agenda?
So moved, James.
This is Heather. I second.
Okay. Are there any, does anybody want to discuss it or offer any changes to the draft agenda? Okay. Seeing that there are no, are there any objections then to adopting the draft agenda? Okay, hearing no objections, the draft agenda is adopted. So let's move on. I have discussed the idea of the National Advisory Board previously, so I decided that why don't we just go ahead and make a motion to create one. So let me read the motion. Be it resolved that a Pacifica National Advisory Board be created. The advisory board shall consist of those members of the public who have special expertise in areas that can assist Pacifica in fulfilling its mission. The nominees for the Pacifica National Advisory Board shall be submitted to the Secretary of the PNB after having obtained the endorsement of at least three directors. The Pacifica National Board shall be notified of all nominees. A nominee will become a member of the Pacifica National Board unless there is an objection by at least three directors in the 30 days following the notification of a nomination. In the event of an objection, the Pacifica National Board shall schedule a vote on adding the nominee to the Pacifica National Advisory Board. That's the motion. Discussion, please. It could use a second, but seconds, as you know, are not required in committees.
This is James.
James, go ahead.
I apologize. Did I hear any number of members of the advisory board, or
no?
Was that open-ended?
Open-ended.
Okay.
Beth with a question?
Yes, Beth.
How long are the terms?
For the rest of their life, unless they want to quit.
Alex, just to be clear, do I understand? This is Sandra. May I speak?
Yeah.
So there's no limit to the number of members that can be on this board and their lifetime memberships?
The motion doesn't specify any. If you think there should be, you can offer an amendment.
Well, I'm just kind of curious how the whole thing will play out.
Well, question? Go ahead.
Who's this?
This is Beth with another question, but go ahead and finish this. I thought you were done, but go ahead and finish this.
No, I'm done. I don't want to make any amendments at this time.
Yeah, there is an amendment I would suggest. I think we should add a line saying that current members of the PNB or officers or delegates are not eligible to serve on the Pacifica National Advisory Board. I think we should exclude current people in governance. It's kind of understood that it's not for them, but we might as well make that explicit, I think, no?
This is James.
Yeah, James.
I'm just wondering how to avoid having this become a political vehicle where people try to stack the committee with those who agree with them, and then they use it as a platform to offer a certain variety of advice. I mean, I guess it has no power. It's purely advisory. So maybe that doesn't matter, but I was hoping, you know, we could get some neutrality or balance involved in it somehow so that it would truly be people who had a contribution to make in terms of, you know, some technical, legal, financial, fundraising kind of skills.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't know if you can come up with a formula to prevent that. I think we just have to rely on the good sense of the Pacifica National Board to avoid things like that. I mean, if you can come up with a formula, try it. I can't think of any.
Chris Corey for the
All right, Beth, can you wait and let Chris go, and then you can go?
Yes.
Okay, Chris?
Yeah. Is there a recall provision in this, Alex, or would you consider such a thing? I mean, if it turns out that the advisors are like, thoroughly rejected by the community.
Here's my thought on this. If it's going to be like a thing like where you can be recalled, you know, that's not going to sit well with people who may, you know, who may be interested in this is basically just, you know, people who want to volunteer their time to help Pacifica. If they're going to have to go through all sorts of gyrations and political litmus tests, they're, you know, they're going to be reluctant to want to join. So, I think we should make it as easy as possible for people to volunteer to get on this board. There could be people nominated that some people feel are to be there, and other people feel strongly against them. That's why I added a provision that, you know, people can object, but you know, I just don't think it's going to generate enthusiasm if we start creating all sorts of rules for how you can be kicked off this group.
Alex, this is Sandra. Can I be on the stack, please?
Yeah, sure. Okay. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think what you're envisioning is something a little bit more casual than what I was thinking of, and I think your counter argument made sense there. Thank you.
Okay, Beth.
I have a few questions. I'll put them all out there and let you work through them. One, how do we receive their advice? Who may approach them for advice? At some point, we need to make it clear that advisors do not and may not speak on behalf of Pacifica. And I, too, am concerned about, a couple things. One would be people who agree to serve on the board but then turn out to be problematic in whatever way. I'm concerned about just sort of writing a blank check to someone to be part of the process and then having no way to address potential problems. Then it's one of the reasons four terms, because then if there is someone who's creating problems, then it saves you the need to have to ask them to leave or tell them to leave or, you know, hold a vote or whatever, that where their time just naturally comes to an end and you thank them for their services and go on to the next person. And I'm concerned about what happens 10 years, 15 years down the road when this has been established for a while and we've added people all along the way, but nobody really knows who anymore or why or what their responsibilities are. And do they meet on any kind of regular basis? Or as you can see, I pay a lot of attention to governance issues. So those are all questions that just sort of spring to mind. Thank you.
Well, it'll be the advisory board will be a committee of some sort, and they will meet. It'll be up to them how often. And I guess we can put that into the motion as well.
And if you think it's important, we can add a provision about the how long a term people can have on this advisory board.
James, for the stack when you're ready.
Okay, I think.
And then Julie.
Okay, I think I heard.
I think
Sandra.
I'm next. Yeah.
And then James, and then Julie. Okay, Sandra.
Okay, thank you.
I already spoke. Yeah. Julie can go before me.
Okay. Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay. Thank you. I would say we should probably table this for right now because of some of the comments and questions that have been brought up. But I wanted to add also that in the motion or somewhere attached to the motion, we spell out exactly the role of a community advisory member. You know, like if you have expertise or we're seeking people with expertise in specific areas. And I don't know if we want to have a limit to however many people, but we need to give them specific guidelines as to exactly what their duties and responsibilities are as a advisory board. Thank you.
Okay. Julie?
Yeah. So as I understood this idea when Alex, first mentioned it to me, I was thinking that this would be a relatively august body that in the sense of, while not decision-making, has people on it who, have expertise, are kind of leading lights and thinkers, at least in their area of expertise, and could provide, significant, kind of advice to Pacifica. Of course, it would be up to the PMB to act on that advice, right? But what I could see happening, unless we have, either a maximum number of members of this board or terms, as Beth suggested, is I could see it being populated with people that wind up, kind of watering it down. And so if somebody comes onto the board who is problematic from the standpoint of, kind of taking over meetings, for example, or being otherwise counterproductive in meetings, that's going to make this sort of fall apart. And that's not what we want. We want, kind of leading light types to want to be on this. And I agree with Alex that it should be easy for them to get on. And so I just wanted to think about, kind of the notion of a maximum number to kind of prevent, also too many voices and nobody having an opportunity to really be heard. I mean, we know what happens with a large board. And so it's not always productive. And so making this group small, I think, would be, and having a constraint on the maximum number of members, I think, would be beneficial and would help contribute to, the better, the better people being chosen in the sense of, you know, have something to contribute by way of giving advice to Pacifica. Thanks.
Okay. The sense I'm getting is that we need to think a little bit more and come back with some more restrictions, some more provisions, let's say, on the enabling motion for this advisory board. So do you think it would make sense to postpone consideration of this motion until our next meeting? In the meantime, maybe you can all think about it and maybe make some suggestions by email or something like that.
James for the stack?
Yeah. James?
Yeah, the point that I was going to make earlier kind of is apropos here, and the question that you're asking, and we have a tendency at Pacifica to reinvent the wheel all the time. So I wonder if we should look at how other foundations, other boards do this. I'm sure there are tried and true methods. I'm sure there's a wide variety of methods. And perhaps if we, I mean, it amazes me how the good questions and the good thoughts that everybody comes up with here about how, you know, things we should consider. So I'm just adding to that, that maybe we should consider looking at how other people have done it.
Beth to the stack.
Yeah,
Alex,
that's a good,
this is Heather.
Yeah,
I'd like to be on the stack as well.
Okay.
Alex, this is Sandra. I don't want to be on the stack. I was just going to move that we go ahead and table it. But if other people still want to speak, I'm fine with that. Thank you.
Yeah, who wanted to be on the stack? I didn't hear that last.
Beth, this will only take a moment.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. As we've been discussing it, I did a search on nonprofit advisory boards best practices, and I'm in the process of copying out the top hits on that, and I can email them to everyone so you can look them up yourself and see what other people do.
I was thinking of you when I said that, Beth.
See,
it's my modus operandi.
Okay.
Alex, this is Heather. I'd just like to make a few comments, if possible.
Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, no, I really like the idea of an advisory board, but I think we would have to have some kind of specific number of people on the board, I think. And, you know, I personally would like to make sure that it is representative of the country, nationally, where Pacifica is located. And also, it would be great if we had some conceptual framework of expertise from folks on the advisory board. I don't know how we could do that exactly, but I think that would be good for us to be able to do something like that. So, yes, I think it would be best to wait a little bit before we present this motion.
Okay, so shall we go ahead and postpone further discussion until the next meeting? In the meantime, we can read the material Beth is going to be sending us and look at other material. Does that make sense?
This is Heather. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Are there any objections? Okay, good. So let's do that then. At least we got the ball rolling on this one. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a review of progress or lack of it on the other areas we've been researching. First area is the plan to build our emergency preparedness infrastructure. That's Bailey. Beth, how are we doing on that?
Well, I've got a couple of things to report and a request for assistance. I emailed all the managers, the general managers of each of our eight units, requesting a copy of their emergency response plan, and I waited a couple of weeks, and when I didn't get any response back, I elevated that to a director's inspection and spelled it out a little more in detail, and including reasons why I'm asking, and I sent that out. That's been 3 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting to hear. I haven't heard from one, not one, of the eight, and that's a problem.
Did you include our interim executive director in your email?
I did. I did. Okay. And I can forward what I've written to them, to you, so you can, or to everyone if you'd like to see it. But I'm gonna suggest now that my next step is going to be to pick up the... I don't have the phone numbers for all of those eight people. So I'll be tracking those down. If there's anyone here who can help me with that, I would be grateful. And I've got a number for Lydia. But I think everybody else I need numbers for. I will be calling them, and someone suggested a meeting or so ago that maybe each of us on the committee could call our local, the station, whatever station we represent, and prompt them to respond and explain why. I guess I'll send out one more email and explain that this is a final request, and if I don't receive word back, I will be reporting again to this committee and probably elsewhere that I haven't gotten a response.
Okay, you should also put in your email.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. May I please be on the stack?
Yeah, I'm just responding to Beth. You can, if you haven't already done so, you can put in the email. This is part of a plan to raise funds for Pacifica.
I did that. I did. Okay. I explained it was part of this my mm-hmm. my assignment on for the strategic planning committee, and that in order to qualify for funds, that we have to get our reporting in order. And I don't know that people even. I mean, I have no indication whether they opened it or not, whether they recognized it. I would think that if I put director's inspection in the subject line, it should have gotten attention, but it didn't. So I'll move again to do that. And I think in this one, I'll suggest that if we don't have a response, then we will have to assume that whatever units haven't responded, don't have a plan, and we'll move.
Before you send out your next email, why don't you include me in it, and I'll put my name on in there as the chair of the Pacifica National Board. Maybe that'll get you more attention. I don't know.
We can try. And I wanted to lay out the next step for them that unless they can provide us with a current viable, compliant, working plan, which would include training and exercises and things like that, that if they can't provide us with a plan, then we'll be prepared to provide them with a plan, including reporting so that they can document that they've complied. That's down the road yet. We haven't gotten that far. But the more I work on this, the more I've come to realize that this is really emergency management is one element under risk management. And there are other, it seems that a lot of the other things I'm working on in other committees are also come under risk management. And so I've started to think of this as one element of a larger, more comprehensive risk management program. And I've been reading about that, you know, best management practices. I've sought that. And I can send links to some of the PDFs I've found especially useful. and some of my notes for your consideration. We can talk further about that now if you want, or I can just send that and we can discuss it at the next meeting. But I remember that someone else, was it Sandra, wanted to comment or question?
Yes, thank you. Is it my turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, thank you. I understand the importance of having this from each and every unit. And I'm not making excuses, but any director that's on this call that's been sitting on the national board during the last few meetings is well aware that our general manager here in KPFT started on January the 15th, and he has done nothing but put fires out since he got here. And a few days ago, everybody got to witness him being attacked for doing his job on a national call. And that was pretty heart-wrenching because I'll finish. I'm just going to say this. You know, those of us here in Houston will do whatever we can to ensure that our general manager complies with your request. But it's kind of a lesson to be learned for all of the signal areas as to what happened here in Houston in the last year and a half, 2 years, and why it is so important to have an emergency backup plan and be able to run things smoothly for our listeners and for the board and for the general managers and their staff as well. Thank you.
Okay.
May I respond to that,
colleague? Yes, sure.
Thank you, Sandra. Yes, I heard your general manager and have had the opportunity to speak with him, and he has my sympathies. I think I mentioned, I'm not looking at it at the moment, but I think I mentioned in the most recent iteration of my request, the director's inspection, that if a manager doesn't have one, if a location doesn't have a plan, or if they can't find it, which is essentially the same thing, that they should just say so, because this is just simply to get a baseline so that we know where we're starting from and can better know how to plan from there. So if you speak with him, if you could just let him know, this is, it's not a gotcha question. I'm just trying to figure out where we're at. I don't want to be imposing plans on any location that already has viable plans in place and compliant plans. But we won't know until we hear from the managers. I'm going to guess. I know that they're going to stop short of saying that out loud, but I'm going to guess that given that access to your building is extremely limited, and in fact access to your digital assets right now is also limited, if there was a plan, I would hope that at some point there had been a plan, but that David would have a hard time accessing it at this point, and that's completely understandable. And you can tell him I said so. I would also say that part of the planning for emergencies, emergency management, is to identify and mitigate what's known as single point of failure, which is what you've experienced there, where you had one person who had access to the digital operations, and that person walked out the door. Relinquishing that.
Chair,
and
I think we should remember we're on the stream and we should be
right,
careful about.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
But that's to have any one person, regardless of whom, be the only person to have access to and control of any given resource is a point of vulnerability, and we should plan around it, plan to avoid that. So we would hope to get a more robust plan in place for him in the future.
Let me just suggest this, that instead of, Beth, instead of you bearing the brunt of all of this, that why don't those of us on the call find out from our own, you know, our own station managers where, you know, what the status is. I'll volunteer to find out what it is at WBAI, and I'll make sure you get that information.
Thank you. And what we want something in writing. We want a document.
Okay.
If they have it. Thank you.
What about the other stations? Does somebody want to volunteer to get the information from WPFW, for instance?
I can certainly do that, Julie.
Okay, thank you, Julie. And what are we?
Sandra here from KPFT. I'll be happy to speak with David, and I will relay the comments from Beth as well. Thank you.
Okay. KPFK. Well, Beth, are you the only one from KPFK here tonight?
I am, but that's okay. I am from KPFK, and I'd be happy to.
Okay. Well, I know you have an interim general manager, but you know,
yeah,
you know whom
you can ask one of the other members of the board, Ali, who's on staff. He will probably know that information.
I asked Danielle last year, with a 6 month gap, and I have his report. I'll
oh, okay.
There.
So then you do have something from KPFK. All right.
No.
No, you don't have anything. Okay. I don't
no.
know.
That's the issue.
I don't know what your interim manager, I don't know if he would really know this. You could ask him.
Right. And I just need him. I need to communicate with him more directly that if he doesn't know of one or if he can't lay his hands on one, then he needs to say that.
He may very well know because he has an engineering background.
Yeah.
So he would probably at least know who to ask if he doesn't know himself.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I will pursue that. That leaves KPFA. Is Chris
KPF.
Here?
Chris, can you find out what the deal is with KPFA?
I'm sorry, I missed the very top part of this conversation. Is this a point of contact for emergency provisions or something?
I've made a couple of written requests, email requests. The first was just an email letter. The second, because I didn't get any response from anybody, I elevated it to director's inspection for a copy of each of the 8 units emergency response plan, maybe referred to as an ERP. But I need to have a copy of it, written copy.
I got it.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll look into it.
Lyndon
for the SAC. Wait, quick question.
Right. Lyndon, I heard Lyndon.
Yes. Beth, having a spare generator at the transmitter or at the station, is that part of having an emergency backup plan?
I would think it should be. For an operation like ours, yes. I don't know how many of
you have that. Right. If we want to stay on the air while everything else is going to have a hard time, then we need generators. Okay. Because we don't have one at either spot, but it's part of our plan. Thank you.
And we need to, I just went through years of trying to get one in place at our little local water district. And it was like pulling teeth. There's more to it than what you might think. It takes an electrician to know what kind of generator we need and how it needs to be wired and whether it needs
right.
to be mobile
well, I
or
was
not
with,
mobile.
Okay. I was with our manager and the interim general manager, Mo Thomas, this weekend, and they were discussing that, and they both know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting – I have yet to get to talk to – you've got an interim general manager right now, and he's not here, and I don't get to talk with him. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that conversation. And I'm sure I'll get to hear more about, you know, what he found in Texas, too. So thank you. That's a very good question. Excellent question.
Just a little story here, speaking of different sources of power generation. One of our affiliate stations is powered by a water mill.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you knew that.
Do they have a battery of any kind, even like...
I don't know.
There's a lot of power produced for the city of Los Angeles by a couple of reservoirs out here. Big, huge reservoirs where they let the upper one drain to the lower one during the day when the power demand is so great, and it turns turbines while it does that. And then when everybody goes to sleep, they pump that same water back up to the upper reservoir and run it right through the same terms again the next day. And I can't imagine what the, you know, I haven't seen the net and gross figures for what that costs us in terms of energy, but they seem to think it pays them to do that. It's pretty mind-blowing to me to find that out. So more power to them if they have that. I wonder about if they have battery backup for that.
We can try to find that. At some point, I'd really like to visit that station.
Where is it located?
It's in upstate New York somewhere.
This is Heather. That's absolutely right.
Even an upper pond where, you know, an upper reservoir would count as a battery, the kinetic energy in that.
Yeah. I do try to visit these little community stations when I'm in, you know, one of these rural areas. It's usually a pretty interesting
excursion.
I didn't realize... I'll just say it real quick and then you can go. I didn't realize that the little local, very local, low-power station here in Ventura, the county seat of Ventura County, is one of our affiliates. I've known of it for years. They do a lot of training and things. And I've been very much aware of it, had no idea that they were affiliated with us until I got the brochure from the manager of our affiliates. So, okay, go ahead.
We have a bunch of low power stations that are affiliates of ours,
it's great that we, you know, that we have that affiliate network, and some of those affiliate stations are, of course, fairly big stations, but there's a lot of them that are, you know, small, low power, or just small community stations, and they really provide a very vital function. Heather, did you have something to say?
Oh, I thank you for saying that, Alex. There are a lot of such interesting community radio stations or affiliate stations using different kinds of access to power. So let me work on that. I'd like to report to the group on that and or to the Pacifica Board about that as well. I'll work on that a little bit, get more information.
Heather, if you ever come to New York, we can go visit that station together.
I'd love to. I've known about that for years as well, actually. So I'd love to do that, Alex. Put that on the agenda.
Absolutely.
And Julie, right. I had a quick question for Beth.
Yeah.
So Beth, when you say you want something in writing, what you want is the emergency plan if they have it. But if they don't, then that's, well, it's not okay, but we'll start working on one for them. I suspect that that is the case at many stations because, you know, so many of the stations have been operating on shoestring budgets and with shoestring personnel for a number of years that, you know, and that, you know, like I think all the general managers, you know, do manage risk. They're just doing it in their heads as opposed to on paper.
Right. The local water district I mentioned, it was really like pulling teeth to try to get the general manager. It's a five-person operation with a budget close to KPFK's, and just serves. It's all within walking distance. And this guy was a former Marine, and every time we tried to get him to list risks and what would be done about it, he couldn't. He'd like look really puzzled and then say, "You just deal with it, you know. You just do what need. You know, it's a powder mill biscuit strategy. You do what needs to be done." And he just couldn't think through, why do you need to write all this down? But the good news is that there are a lot of templates out there available, and I'm reviewing them now. And it's not that hard to fill in the blanks and get a very basic plan in place that will be at least it'll provide compliance, legal compliance. It's probably still not adequate, especially for anything as sophisticated as critical communications infrastructure. We should have a plan more sophisticated than that, but it's a good place to start. And at least then, you know, if you're reviewed, you can say you've got one. And it gets it on people's radar, so the manager's thinking, oh, we need to, and you have to keep the names updated and the contact information updated, and it entails training, and most people haven't done that, and not just us. I mean, it's across the board. This is standard state of affairs. But anything we do will get us farther than what we are right now, I have a feeling. And this will just be a starting point, and we'll get those plates up on sticks and spinning. That's my goal.
Okay, thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
I guess we can go on to the next item, which is what about the plan to get a bond going, Lyndon? How are we doing on that one?
That would be Chris.
That'll be Chris. Okay.
Am I being asked to give you an update?
Yeah, if there is any.
Okay. Yep, sure. So I reached out to three different investment banks. I was advised at a certain point that investment banks are the best thing for this sort of a financial vehicle. And unfortunately, I didn't get any response from any of them. So I decided to take a different tactic and basically contact conventional banks and ask them for recommendations, because it seemed like I was just beating my head against a wall. I guess it's one thing if you're like a Fortune 500 company or something and you have some weight to throw around, but I'm just not getting much response from these people. So I got a good recommendation out of two of the three banks recommended the same place, which was Prudential Private Capital, actually. They have a branch office in San Francisco. I've reached out to them. I have not gotten a response from them yet, but it's only been like 48 hours since I did that. And I'll update the committee when I get something back from them. But I'm not going to give up quite so easily this time, because before the correspondence banks in the other three cases were out of state, and it made it very difficult for me to communicate with them. But with this being basically in my backyard, and also the fact that people are returning to their offices these days, I think I'll have better luck here in San Francisco, especially since I can name drop a little bit, having gotten a referral to them. So I'm a little bit more optimistic about this one. And like I say, when I hear back, I will report that to the committee.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. That's something.
Lyndon, for that.
I can actually add one more thing, and that's that we do kind of meet the size and shape requirements for this private placement offering. The size of the bond that we're looking to place, and the size of the company, and the age of the company, and the use and purpose of the bond offering, all of this stuff fits the parameters for private placement. So on that end of the scale, I'm fairly optimistic.
Okay, good. Okay, the next item we would
discuss. This is Lyndon. I had a question.
Yeah.
Chris, did you contact the person with the California, I don't know, 501c3, that organization we talked about one time? Somebody sent me a name for this organization.
You know what, Lyndon? I completely forgot about that until you mentioned it just now. So the answer is no, but I will do that.
Would you like me to do it?
Yeah, please, if you could. That
okay,
would be great.
Okay. I just don't want to be stepping, you know, both of us.
You're
calling,
not stepping
so
on my
turn. I'll call her.
That one.
Okay, I'll call
okay,
her.
Thank
I'll
you.
Get that done. Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. The other area we were looking at was podcasting. I took some responsibility for that. I don't have anything new to report. I have not met with the people involved. They've been very busy. Hopefully we'll get some more information about that at our next meeting. I know they're still working on it. That's about all I know. And finally, the plan to create digital reproductions of original content, otherwise known as NFTs. How are we doing on that, Lyndon?
Well, you know, we had a meeting with the archivist, our little subgroup, and he said he was going to send some copies of five or six of our files, and he never did that. And I would really, I guess we're going to have to contact him. I don't know why he didn't do it. I sent him an email asking for these specific files. And so I think we're getting a little resistance there. And we need, you know, we need to get, if we're going to sell anything, we need to have an idea of what we have. Now, there's going to be a big proof of concept, I think. Major League Baseball has announced that they are going to sell or auction the NFT of Lou Gehrig's speech when he claimed, when he had to retire because of Lou Gehrig's disease, when he claimed to be the luckiest man alive. So that's going to be auctioned on July 4th. And
is
I
that,
think that
is
would
that going to be NFT or mini?
Yes. Yes, an NFT.
But it's going to be and only one that they're going to auction off?
That's all I know about it, Alex. I do know that Candy Digital is the company that is going to be doing this for Major League Baseball. And one of the founders of that is a guy by the name of Ruben, who's in the Philadelphia 76ers ownership group. Anyway, so, and then I have the name of the Dapper Labs, who does these things for the NBA. They've got a whole division doing that. And so one thing I'm going to do is I've collected all these names. I'm going to get a Twitter account and get on there and see if I'm throw out some Pacifica, you know, mentions or something, see if I can get anybody's attention and see if anybody wants to give us a little help or work with us. That's where I'm at.
Okay. I can report that I tried to get more information about an iconic photograph that we own. See if we can create a digital impression of that. And I've been having trouble getting a hold of the person who has knowledge of all the details of that photograph. The photograph itself, I don't think, will be a problem obtaining, but we need some curatorial information about it in order to put it on the market. And that's the person I'm trying to get a hold of has that information.
Chris, this is Lyndon.
Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I can see why Lyndon mentioned this thing before about the MLB Lou Gehrig speech, and I think it's actually a really good comparable for a whole bunch of reasons. I mean, it's historical, it's archival, it kind of fits right in with what Pacifica would hope to do, I think. And so I'll be watching that auction really carefully just to see what happens with it, and I think anybody who's interested in the subject should do the same. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything?
This is Lyndon.
Lyndon?
Yeah, I would like to see us do something in 4 to 6 weeks. We just have to push ourselves and get something that we can put on the market and, you know, go to one of these OpenSeas or Rarefied or, you know, whatever, whichever site we decide to go on.
Lyndon, why don't let's organize another meeting with the with Mark Torres.
Okay, that's good.
Maybe we can do it either later this week or early next week.
Okay. Yeah, we need to go ahead and get going.
That's what we come up with, because I had the idea of this photograph for our first trial, but if that's going to, you know, if it's going to take a lot of time to get that all worked out, maybe we can, you know, we can switch to something else for our first trial.
Right.
Yeah.
Beth to the stack?
Yeah, Beth.
Mm-hmm. Before we move ahead with this and implement, I have questions about the carbon footprint, the environmental impact of blockchain technology, including for NFTs. And I've read a little bit about it. I don't know whether maybe Lyndon can address that. If not now, then at the next meeting or sometime if he wants time to prepare. Also, I would ask that I am jamming about as hard as I can right now to keep up with everything between the two different elections, and I'm part of a GM search committee that's double timing it right now to try to get a GM in place. So I have not just all my regular meetings, but those on top of things too, and adding extra meetings anytime this month is, I don't see how I could do it. Once we get past July or into July, then things should calm down a little, and I'm definitely open to
catching up. The next item on our agenda is setting the date for our next meeting. So,
do we get it back?
Who was that? I heard James.
Julie and James.
Okay. I'm hearing two people at the same time, and I can't figure out who's. I heard James, and I heard somebody else. Who's the somebody
Julie.
Else?
Julie.
Okay. I don't know which one of you was first, but let's say Julie for now. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the question I had about kind of tagging on with what Beth said about the carbon footprint of NFTs. So the question, Lyndon, is it just the mining of NFTs that has the awful carbon footprint, or is it, you know, kind of just NFTs more generally? So, because I've heard bad things about mining, but that's not what we would be engaged in. So thanks.
We will at some point.
I'll answer that after James.
Well, that said, that, One of the companies involved in this has managed to greatly reduce their carbon footprint. I don't know how reliable that article was. Lyndon, what do you know about this?
Well, yes, people are working to lessen the carbon footprint. And Ethereum mining, which is most of what these sites use is Ethereum. And they use GPU. I just wrote this down. You know, they use GPU processors rather than the energy hog ASIC machines that Bitcoin uses. And I don't know. I read something, you know, a while back that said that the production of a T-shirt costs as much in energy. But I don't know exactly how that was calculated, if it, you know, had the machine that planted the seed, that harvested, you know, the cotton gin, you know, the whole nine yards, and delivering it to your local Macy's or something. I don't know what the basis of all that was, but it does use energy.
Okay, I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm not sure there is a definitive answer to the question anyway. Okay, James, I think you wanted to say something.
I did. Thank you. And I think, you know, we had a little bit of this conversation before, and I think it was said at that time that the carbon footprint, the significant carbon footprint, is more with the mining associated with Bitcoin than it is with the NFTs. So I think it's less of a concern than, again, with the mining with Bitcoin. But I also just wanted to remind you, Alex, in pursuing that photograph, to the extent that you do, I realize you're possibly going to slow down on that. But I just wanted to remind you that, you know, there is a significant name behind that, an art photographer. And even though we own that particular print of that photograph, we would still need to figure out who owns the negative, who owns the rights to the reproduction of the image, and all of that. Well, so that might be another reason that makes it more complicated.
Yeah, well, that's why I was trying to get a hold of the person. I'm trying to get a hold of is the person who curated this photograph for an art auction where it was previously offered. So that person would know all that information, but he just seems to be really difficult to get a hold of.
But that would be akin to selling a print that's one of a series. And when you're doing an NFT of an image, it might be different.
You're assuming things. I don't know. You're making
assumptions. I'm not making assumptions. I'm telling you that it would be a good idea to look into those things as you pursue it. That's all.
Yeah, I'm saying we don't know if it's the only original from the negative. We don't know.
That's why I was reminding you to look into it.
I believe it is, but I don't have any firm documentation on that. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Can I ask one question before we get to set the next meeting date?
Sure.
So there was an email, it wasn't a strategic planning committee email, and I don't remember the person who sent it off the top of my head. I'm going to take a stab and guess maybe that it was Michael Novick, I think he sent it to everyone on the PNB. But the point there was about doing a careful strategic planning at each of the stations, because, you know, we can do strategic planning at the Pacifica level, but without strategic plans at each of the units, we might not take off in the way that we need to. And so what I wanted to propose to the group is that I would be willing to, this is adding one item to our list of things, but investigate what it would take to get, you know, a little strategic planning effort going at each of the units.
That sounds like a great idea to me.
Anybody else have any objections or concerns about doing that?
This is Beth.
Yep.
I would be supportive of that. What we do here in this committee is very different from what I've experienced as nonprofit strategic planning in the past, and in my experience, it's a process that involves the staff and management and the board initially separately and ultimately together, identifying values and priorities and that sort of thing. And every time I've been involved in it, they brought in someone from the outside, a consultant, to work that process because they know the process and because they're a neutral person without, a dog in the fight, so to speak. And if you search on nonprofit strategic planning best practices, I'm sure there will be a wealth of material come up on that. And I'm doing my best to try to recruit the guy who was brought in from outside to conduct the strategic planning at the last board I sat on. He teaches at Pepperdine, and he teaches nonprofit, you know, governance and strategy and that sort of thing, with a banking background.
Okay. Sounds like sounds like somebody who could help us. If you can interest him, that would be great.
Wish me luck. I think it's a long shot. A lot of demands on his time.
Okay. All right. I think we're done with this section of the meeting. Does anybody have any other questions or anything?
Okay. So when do we want to meet again? I think the
point made about this being a busy month is quite valid. Some of us are involved in this referendum that's happening right now that takes up a lot of our time. There's also local station board elections, which is going to take up some of our time. So it may very well be make sense to have our next meeting sometime in July. What do you think?
This is Beth.
Yeah.
I'm usually one who would rather meet more often because I think more gets, as you build up momentum, more gets done. But in this particular case, I'm wondering if we could schedule something for like the second Monday in July. That would be the 12th.
That sounds reasonable. That doesn't mean, by the way, that the different working groups should stop working. If they, you know, if they have some momentum and something can be done, they should continue to do whatever they're doing right now.
Right.
But we don't have to, I don't think we have to meet as a committee until, yeah, that sounds like a good date to me, the second Monday in July. Does anybody object to that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so let's do that.
Good.
Alex, this is Heather. Can I just say one other thing before we end the meeting here?
Sure.
Just quickly, I just wanted to mention, I know it's at one of the last meetings when we were talking about podcasting. I think I made reference, or maybe some other folks as well made reference about the affiliates and podcasting. So at the next meeting, what I'd like to be able to do is report on that from the affiliates, what the affiliates do with podcasting. So I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, great. I'll do that, absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, I think it's time to say goodnight. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay, then. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Right off.
Thanks, everyone. All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.